Welcome back to Shattering Superstructure. On this episode, we have Rory Culkin discussing his new film, 5 Pounds of Pressure. Also in the interview, he discusses his career, working with Donald Glover and Janine Neighbors on Swarm, Black Mirror, 12 with Joel Schumacher, Signs with M. Night Shyamalan, and his desire to reunite with Night, as well as future projects down the pipeline. It's a great interview. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in. Absolutely loved your movie. Thought it was a very gritty crime film. Definitely balances, you know, several storylines, infused with grief, sort of redemption, revenge, and loneliness and isolation. So very well done. And your performance was outstanding. So
thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And you rocked that hat, man, that cowboy hat. which got me thinking, like, I've seen you in a hat before in roles. So before we get into the movie, I put together a list. I got Signs, got Off Season, of course, this movie, Gabriel, The Zodiac, Lime Life, The Expecting, The Song of Sway Lake, Under the Banner of Heaven. And I'm probably missing some, but is there something about casting directors that just like, okay, this guy, I can see him in a hat, you know?
Oh yeah, coming in hot with the deep questions. Yeah, right. I'll answer honestly, there are certain projects where it is effective, you know, like Gabriel, for instance. It's, you know, he was suffering this mental illness, and in my mind, the hat was his, that was keeping his head together. He always needed his hat, keeps it all contained. In 5 Pounds of Pressure, it's sort of a symbol of this guy just doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he thinks his hat looks cool when, you know, he's supposed to be blending into his surroundings, but he's dealing with huge quantities of drugs, and he's just sticking out like a sore thumb. He's just begging for someone to rob him or arrest him. I think there is a utility in some of these hats. It's not just the wardrobe department having fun, you know.
In this particular role, I felt like he wears the hat due to his desire to leave the life of crime and go play music in Texas, right? So that's what I kind of felt like went into that particular wardrobe decision.
Yeah.
What were the conversations regarding the director with your wardrobe choices in this film?
Well, it was written as him wearing this leather hat and leather boots and pants and jacket. And when I sat down with Phil, the writer director, I asked him about the hat. It wasn't the first thing I said, but eventually I was like, what's up with the cowboy hat? And he was open to other suggestions. He was like, I just want something that shows that this guy is sticking out like a sore thumb. But I was like, no, let's keep the hat. I don't fully get it, but let's keep it. Let's see what happens. And then when I got to Manchester, I put it on and looked at myself in the mirror and just like, ugh, you're just a clown. You're pathetic. This really works. So it was sort of like embarrassing to see myself like that. And I thought, let's just dive in. Let's go and embarrass ourselves and get abused for, you know, 2 hours on screen and see how that turns out. So yeah, it was fun.
So how did this film fall into your lap and what drew you to it?
I just got sent the script and I thought it was weird. I thought it was interesting. I thought it's something I may have read 20 years ago, or see, it seems like a movie that would have been made in the 90s, which I thought was really cool. It was kind of timeless. It wasn't about, you know, our modern age of technology, or, you know, it wasn't really touching on right now. It was sort of these old themes, which I really liked. It was almost like it could have been the 1800s, you know, with what we're dealing with. And so I kind of like that it was sort of timeless. And then I like the Mike character because he was just, someone who was failing. Every scene he just fails. And I thought that was cool. And then I sat down with Phil, and he's just such a pleasant guy. And you know, he lived this life. It's semi-autobiographical. I think it's okay for me to say that. And yeah, he was such a pleasant guy, and he was just, he had a real admiration for film. You know, he's a musician first. I think this was his second feature. Yeah, I just really liked the script, and I liked Phil, and we just really got along well. So yeah, why not?
Yeah, and a line that really spoke to me was that there's nothing special about wanting to be special. And I think it also speaks to the film's characters, ordinary people going through extraordinary circumstances. Did you have a particular scene or line that leaped out to you from the page when you first read it?
That was actually one of them. Yeah, that's a good call. No, I mean, there's a scene with Mike, my character, and ER, that sort of kingpin at the in the strip club, and that really stuck out to me. It's, you know, he gave me a huge loan, and then I kind of fumble it, and I come back and ask for forgiveness, and he's just so forgiving, and it just makes you so uneasy that like, why is he being so cool about this? And then on the day, the actor started laughing in the scene, and all his henchmen started laughing, and that I don't think that was written. And so I just started laughing with them, and then realizing that, oh, they're gonna hurt me, but I gotta pretend like maybe they're not. There's still a little thread of hope that they are cool, and we are just laughing together. And then you see what happens next. But yeah, I thought that was cool. Just this kind of fumbling idiot, trying to, you know, take charge of his life, and he's just in there with sharks. He's just in there with these big predators, and he's trying to pretend like he's one of them, and he's just not. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, likewise. And the more I watch this film, the more I realize that it's also a tale of addiction, whether it's to drugs, money, power, or for some people, the thrill of crime. Do you see Mike as an addict looking out for himself or someone who wants to do better in the world around him?
I think Mike is selfish, and I kind of like that. You know, I think we're all a little selfish, and yeah, I mean, he probably had better ways to try to escape this life and this world, and but he was aiming high. He was aiming too high, and he doesn't know his limits. But yeah, I mean, he's doing coke in every scene, or right before every scene. You see him in, and he's kind of like high on himself when he's not getting abused verbally and physically. He's, you know, somehow after he gets beaten, he convinces himself, no, I'm still the man, and I'm gonna go to Texas and show him I'm the man. And like, what's it gonna take for you to realize you're not the man, you're not the guy here? Like, maybe you'll be the guy somewhere else, but this is just not for you. So you know, sometimes you got to know when to fold, you know, when to call in. And he's just kept betting on himself, and sometimes you don't have to bet on yourself.
I initially, when I read the premise, I was like, well, Mike's going to be the moral compass between Adam and Eli. But, as you've said, that's not necessarily the case. And I think the more he sees the destruction that left causes, the more he wants to get out. But there's also a dichotomy there that he's drawn in, like you said, so I found that a really interesting aspect. To the character, but also to the theme of the film itself, the duality of humankind,
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, and so you mentioned working with Phil, but I believe this is his first crime thriller, but you wouldn't know that watching the film. He directed one movie before, and it was kind of a comedy romance. So going into that, what was it like meeting with Phil, and what was it like working with him on set?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was, he lived through this life. You know, he sort of, I think he was sort of committing crimes when he was in his 20s, and so he could have been, he could be dead right now, or you know, he could be in prison, could be in really bad shape, but he made it out, and he's just such a pleasant guy, such a nice guy, and just a like a big film fan, and he just wanted to make something, and I don't know, he was so lovely, and I really wanted to help him. And it was a lot of fun just collaborating with such a pleasant dude like that. Also a cool musician. Great work.
I love that, and not only just him, but the amazing other actors too, collaborating with them, Luca Evans and Alex Pettifer, they deliver amazing performances, but I think you're really the standout in this film because, because you mentioned that one scene where he asked for forgiveness, and I really felt it. You're walking the line, you're like kind of laughing, but you're also kind of crying. And I think yeah, that was one of the scenes that really stood out to me, and is really, I think, going to be talked about a lot in this film. So and you've acted in just about every genre. Do you have a preference as an actor?
I don't. I mean, I haven't done like that much comedy, so that would be cool to sort of try my hand at that. But I don't know. I do like the high stakes of things. You know, I like intense scenes, and yeah, I like the threat of violence in a scene. I think that always kind of turns things up, and yeah, I don't know. I like the more intense, the better, and that's why this script kind of spoke to me. This is just a guy getting tortured, and something about that is appealing. I don't know.
It must be fun to play with. Looking back, I wanted to talk about first in Swarm. You have a kind of a funny nude scene, and I read that it was inspired by a true story about one of Donald Glover's hookups, and that Janine Neighbors kind of took it and ran with it. So how did she explain that scene to you, and did you have any apprehensions going into it?
No, I didn't. I mean, the way Swarm came about, I just got a call from my manager one day, and they were like, "Donald Glover wants to talk to you." Oh, okay. Like, I don't know him. Cool. Like, we gave him your number. He's gonna call you tonight. Okay. So I was just sitting around expecting a call from Donald Glover, and then yeah, he called me, and he just explained, you know, what he's doing. He's producing the show, and he's directing the first episode, and yeah, he just sort of laid it out for me, described the plot, and described my little you know, couple of scenes in it, and he was like, you know, well, do you mind getting naked? And I'm on the phone with Donald Glover, and this show sounds amazing, and then he hits me with that. Nah, man, no, nah, I'm cool. Yeah, I'll get naked for you. Yeah, whatever. And he kind of laughed it off, and I think he said he got naked on a show. I think it was Girls, HBO's Girls. He got naked, so he's like, "I've done it before," and that kind of like put me at ease. And then I think it was once I got to set, he brought up the strawberry thing. He was like, "What do you think about eating strawberries?" And then like she reaches for one, and your junk is like, I think he used the word mashed. Your junk is like mashed up against the glass bowl. What do you think of that? It's great, man. Whatever you want. I think he's brilliant. So, you know, really, whatever he wanted, I would do. I really like that guy. I'm a huge fan. So, yeah. And Janine Neighbors, she fucking rules. So, yeah. I would love that. And it'd be cool if the show came back because, you know, she didn't kill me. So, anyway.
There's more to mine there. So, I'm counting on it, hopefully. You also starred in 12, which is a bit of a full circle moment because you played the late Joel Schumacher in Halston.
That's right.
So, what research went into that role, playing a real person? You always have like access to historical data. but it can also be quite daunting to do them justice, which you definitely do in Halston. But so what went into that? And you know, did you recall working on 12 with Joel?
That was the first thing I thought. It was like, oh, we work together and we really got along. But I think he was he we filmed it, and then Joel passed away, so he never I never got to show it to him or anything. I was looking forward to that and been talking to him about it. But yeah, he was such a lovely guy, and his background was costumes. He started, like, in Halston, you see that he's in the fashion industry in the 60s, and then he got into the wardrobe department when he moved to LA, and he started working on films through that, and then he worked his way up to the director's chair. So it's always really cool to see how these directors, like, where they come from, all different backgrounds. But yeah, I got along with him so well on 12, and yeah, I was really hoping to show him that project, so that was unfortunate. But yeah, it's always great. It's fun playing a real person, because you have a lot to work with, but someone that you really like and someone that you know, that's rare. So I wonder if that'll ever happen again, but it's nice doing it in the moment.
It speaks to how many avenues there are into this industry. You know, you got Phil, who's a musician, and you've got Joel, who was a costume designer. So, I mean, you really you don't necessarily need a film degree to become a director. You know, you just need a love for film. I rewatched Signs last week, and it just gets better with age, man. So, you know, how was it working with M. Night? Is the obvious question. But have there been any discussions about returning to this universe?
No discussions about returning to that universe. Abigail Breslin, she's doing great. I'd love to work with her. But yeah, that was such a cool experience. I mean, I was just, 10 or 11, and looking back, like, M. Night was 29 when we shot that. Joaquin Phoenix was 26. And I'm 34 now, so it's just weird to think I'm older than they were on that set. Kind of blows my mind. And it also makes you think, like, oh, what am I doing with myself? He was 29 and running his, the set on his third film. But yeah, I would love to work with Knight. I'm really a huge fan of his work, such interesting ideas. And, yeah, that was great. Yeah, I'd love to work with all those guys again.
Yeah, I would too, absolutely. And do you have any projects coming up in the pipeline that you want to discuss or that you're able to promote? I know we got A Worthy Man. And I'm hoping you wear another hat in that one because you do play deputies.
Yeah, no, we I got a film called Degenerate with Emile Hirsch that's in the edit. A film called Dead Guy with Michael Shannon. Yeah, those are still in the edit. And then I did something with Ben Sinclair last summer. I'm not sure where that's gonna end up, but yeah. And now we're getting out of a strike now, so hopefully some more interesting projects. And I had a bit of momentum after Swarm of Black Mirror that was kind of halted by the strike. So hopefully people remember me, and I get to do some more interesting roles this year. That would rule.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm rooting for you, and I think that just wanted to say that this performance is outstanding. You know, I'm gonna recommend it to everyone I know, 5 pounds pressure. So congratulations again, and Rory, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. This is great. Hope you can do it again.